Okay, I welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining. Today's class will be given by His Grace Krishna Das Prabhuji. So I would like to give some introduction about Prabhuji. Like Prabhuji is a man blessed with many talents. Like he has a very good academic qualifications. Like he has done his bachelor in mechanical engineering and he has passed all the 4 years with distinctions and a very nice percentile in the gate competition, and he was the first position in the Nasik district. And after such a commendable academic career, he had a promising professional career with some reputed institutions. Like he worked as a deputy manager in Hindustan Aeronautic Limited HAL as aircraft manufacturing in the aircraft manufacturing division Nasik for over 5 years, and before that he earned respect as a lecturer in KK Wagh Engineering Education and Research Institution. And his association with ISKCON has been of celestial devotion, and his service to ISKCON have come to a full circle from being those of a full-time preacher and to being those of a secretary. He is currently the secretary of ISKCON Youth Forum, and he began this work as the secretary from 2011. And he was a full-time preacher in, he began his full-time preaching in 2008, and his enthralling discourses have inspired many people. And he also gives seminars in reputed institutions like HAL, Tech Plasto, Rishabh Instrument, etc. And he has held several awakening seminars in many institutions like around Nasik, like Sandeep Foundation, KK Wagh, COE, Government Polytechnic Institution of Management, etc. His seminars have actuated the participants who have greatly appreciated such illuminating sessions. So we are very happy to have Krishnadan Prabhuji in our conference call to give Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable time. And you can take over the call Prabhuji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, welcome you all. So today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter number 2, Daksha curses Lord Shiva. Text number 28. We'll read the verse first. Bhava vrata dhara yecha tan samanu vrataha pashandinaste bhavantu satchastra paripandhinaha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One who takes a vow to satisfy Lord Shiva or who followed such principles will certainly become an atheist and be diverted from transcendental scriptural injunctions. Purport. It is sometimes seen that devotees of Lord Shiva imitate the characteristics of Lord Shiva. For example, Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison. So some of the followers of Lord Shiva imitate him and try to take intoxications like ganja, marijuana. Here the curse is that if someone follows such principles, he must become an infield and turn against the principle of Vedic regulation. It is said that such devotees of Lord Shiva will be satchastra paripantinaha, which means opposed to the conclusion of Shastra or scripture. This is confirmed in Padma Purana also. Lord Shiva was ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to preach the impersonal or Mayavad philosophy for a particular purpose, Just as Lord Buddha preached the philosophy of voidness for particular purposes mentioned in the Shastras, sometimes it is necessary to preach a philosophical doctrine which is against the Vedic conclusion. In the Shiva Purana, it is stated that Lord Shiva said to Parvati that in the Kali Yuga, in the body of a Brahmana, he would preach the Mayavad philosophy. Thus, it is generally found that the worshippers of Lord Shiva are Mayavadi followers. Lord Shiva himself says, Mayavadam Asachastram. Asachastra, as explained here, means the doctrine of Mayavad impersonalism or becoming one with the Supreme. Bhrigumuni cursed that persons who worshipped Lord Shiva would become followers of this Mayavad Asat Shastra, which attempts to establish that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is impersonal. Besides that, among the worshippers of Lord Shiva, there is a section who live a devilish life. Srimad Bhagavatam and Narada Pancharatra are authorized scriptures that are considered Sat Shastra, or scriptures which lead one to the path of God realization. Asat Shastra are just the opposite. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. Welcome all for this Srimad Bhagavatam session. We are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter number 2, which is entitled as Daksha Curses Lord Shiva, and text number 28 we are discussing. So let us see a brief background of this chapter. Vidura put forth an inquiry to Maitreya, how is it that Daksha, who was so affectionate towards his daughter, he became envious of Shiva, and who is the best among gentlemen, and why did he neglect his daughter Sati? And then we saw that Maitreya Muni narrates the pastime of Daksha Yajna, wherein the Yajna was getting performed and almost all demigods, great personalities were there in that Yajna. And when Daksha enters the Yajna, everyone except Brahma and Shivaji, they didn't stand up to respect Daksha. And this generates anger in Daksha that Brahmaji non-standing didn't create anger in Daksha's mind, because Brahmaji was superior to him, a fatherly figure. And Shivaji actually was his son-in-law, and therefore he, according to position, the relationship position, he wanted Shivaji also should stand up when I am entering into the arena. But Shivaji didn't stand up, and then he becomes angry and very unhappy, and he offends Shivaji. The chapter is entitled Daksha Curses Lord Shiva. So he offends, he says all the ill words to Shiva and the followers of Shiva, and then some of the followers of Shiva, they become angry. Nandi, led by Nandi, and they counter cursed some of the Brahmanas who were present there, and then the Bhrigumuni stands up, and then the Bhrigumuni counter curses actually. So what we're discussing today is actually the shloka. This is the curse uttered by the Bhrigumuni and associate Brahmanas. So they counter cursed the associates of Lord Shiva, and here he is saying that, you know, those who worship Lord Shiva, they get diverted from the transcendental scriptural injunctions and they become Mayavadis or atheists. So this is the curse given by Bhrigumuni to the followers of Shiva. Actually, this way the chapter will continue, few more verses. Yeah, still 35, this cursing and counter cursing will go on, and then next chapter will start wherein Shivji and Sati will discuss, they'll have discussion what exactly happened. So here we'll particularly talk about the issue which is happening here, the anger generated in Daksha. If you see this word anger, A-N-G-E-R, which spells like this, so it has a starting letter as A and ending letter as R. So if you see the starting letter A, it represents audacity. Audacity, we can see this audacity in Daksha, that Shivji, who is actually so much in superior position compared to him, Prajapati, Daksha was a Prajapati, like, and Shivji was, though in a material relation, he was a son-in-law of Daksha Prajapati, but from a spiritual perspective, Shivji is much more superior to Daksha, and that's what he forgot, and he had the audacity to curse Shivji and his associates. So this A, first letter, represents audacity, and then the last letter R, in anger, it represents repentance. So we see that, we will see in future actually, in chapter number 4-5, how later on the whole Daksha incidents will move ahead. And then again, then the second yajna will be performed, and then he doesn't invite anyone, and then Sati goes, and Sati has to give up her body, and then again Shivji is not invited there, then again he offends Shiva, and then descendants of Shiva, associates of Shiva, gets angry, and then they go, and Daksha had to lose his life ultimately out of this, and then ultimately he gets the head of a goat later on. And he repents later that why did I get angry, so much angry. So this anger, these two letters in this anger, A and R, they have something to teach us. So A stands for audacity and R stands for repentance. So both these are seen in this personality of Daksha. Bhagavad Gita 2.62 and 63, they talk about this anger. Lord Krishna talks here, Dhyayato vishan punsaha sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodho vijayate. How does this anger is generated? So this kamat krodho vijayate, from kama, kamana, this anger is generated. So this kama, when we have this desire to enjoy something, that kama, kamana, when that kama is fulfilled, it turns into lobha. Like, I have a desire to eat gulab jam. Let us say there is a gulab jam and I have a desire to eat gulab jam. So if I eat one gulab jam, it's very tasty, succulent. And then I have a desire to eat more gulab jams, then that is lobha. So one desire I try to fulfill, but it doesn't fulfill my heart, and I becomes greedy for that fulfilled desire. I want more. So A desire fulfilled leads to greed, lobha, and let us say when considering the same example of gulab jam, a sweet item is there in front of us. So when we eat, we have a desire to eat more, that is lobha. Now, because of some obstacle, I'm not able to eat that gulab jam, let us say. Now, if that obstacle is stronger than me, then it will create fear in my mind, in my heart. And if the obstacle is weaker than me, then it will create anger in me. So you must be getting that unfulfilled desire, because of some obstacles, it also generates two emotions. When the obstacle is weaker, I become angry. When the obstacle is stronger, I become fearful. So here, in this case of Daksha, what is happening is that the obstacle, it seems to be weaker. What he wanted exactly? He wanted respect. And who is the obstacle? Shivji is the obstacle. And what is the position of Shivji according to Daksha? The position of Shivji is inferior. He is my son-in-law. So when the position is inferior, so this generates anger. So exactly we see here that what Lord Krishna is telling, how anger is generated. And actually, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is a philosophical treatise, a philosophical book. And Bhagavata is the what we can say is exemplified philosophy. So whatever is there in Bhagavad Gita, that is there in Srimad Bhagavatam as well. And we get to understand this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita through historical events. And how exactly this happens, we come to know through these pastimes. And therefore, the combination of both philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and the historical narrations from Srimad Bhagavatam enrich us and they enlighten us on this path of devotional service. So therefore, to control anger, the emotion of anger, what we need to do, we need to understand why anger is generated at first place. So Bhagavad Gita tells us why anger is generated is because of unfulfilled desires. And so therefore, we need to have a control over our desires first, if we want to have a control over our anger. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, he says, you know, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. So I don't desire any of these items. And the more we desire, the more our desires are going to be frustrated in the material world, and the more anger will be generated. And therefore, to conquer over this emotion of anger, which is generated most of the times because of unfulfilled desires, we need to develop one quality in us, and that is the quality of acceptance. When we accept some things, when we accept some situations, when we accept people around, then we can control this emotion of anger. Just to give an example, we have Parikshit Maharaj. Now, Parikshit Maharaj was also cursed by Shringi. In the first canto, we saw that when Parikshit Maharaj was there in the hunting excursion and he's thirsty, and he puts a dead snake on the neck of Shamik Rishi. And Shringi, son of Shamik Rishi, he gives a curse that whoever has done that will die by the snake bite, Takshaka will come and bite, and the person has to die in 7 days. So, Parikshit, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that he had the capacity to counter curse Shrungi, but he didn't. Rather, he accepted, and not only he accepted, he says that tasyaiva meghasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya gruheshva bhikshanam nirvedamulo dvijashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayamashudhatte. He says that para avara isha, one who is lord of this world, me agasya, I am this person who is sinful, asakta chittasya, I am so much attached to my kingdom, to my family, gruheshu abhishnam, I am so much attached here in the material world, nirvedamulo, to remove that attachment, dvijashaparupo, the same lord who is the master and controller of the entire world, he has appeared in front of me in the form of this curse, dvija shapa rupo. The lord has appeared here in the form of the curse of this brahmana. For what purpose? Yatra prasakta bhayamashu, to remove my attachment, to make me detached. The lord has appeared in the form of the curse of this brahmana boy. So that was his level of acceptance actually. So he was having the power, he was the king, he had the power to counter curse this brahmana boy, but he just accepted the situation. So many times actually what happens, if something happens against our will, I desire something and that things doesn't turn my way. So there can be two situations two responses. One response, anything happens, then there is non-acceptance, and the another response is acceptance. We accept. So something happens against our will and we do not accept it, it generates anger in us. Something happens against our will, but we accept it, that generates tolerance in us. When faced with any uncertainty in life, when we do not accept, it generates fear. But when we accept uncertainty, it turns into adventure. When someone has more than me, when we do not accept someone can have more than me, it creates an emotion of jealousy in me. But when I accept, yes, someone can have more than me, it gives me inspiration, not jealousy. When someone hurts me, someone speaks ill words about me, a non-acceptance will create hatred in me. And when I accept, yes, someone may speak ill word, when I accept, it generates forgiveness in me. And therefore, the life equation from all these examples is that non-acceptance of anything will generate a negative emotion in us. But when we accept, then that acceptance leads to generation of positive emotion in us. So we need to become an emotionally adult person. Emotionally adult means what? We have to learn the art of acceptance, whatever it is, acceptance of situations around, acceptance of people around. And that is what Lord Krishna also talk about, this acceptance leads to tolerance. In second chapter, Lord says this, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shritoshna sukadukhadaha agama payuno nitya stamti tikshasva bharata. This appearance and disappearance of happiness and distress, sukha, dukha, daha, happiness and distress, is like agama apayino anityaha, is like appearance and disappearance of seasons, shita ushna. Now let us say, here in Nasik, the summer season is going on. So summer, but that is also anitya. Summer goes, then rainy season will come. Rainy goes, then winter will come. So it is anitya. So coming and going will go on. So similarly, sukha and dukkha, they will come and go, they will come and go. Tam titikshasva bharata. God says, tolerate that. So when we accept, yes. So what do we do? Now it is summer. The situation is beyond my control. We are not like having the power like Hiranyakashipu or having a siddhi that if the temperature is very high and we just look angrily at sun and the temperature is controlled. We are not that powerful. We are tiny beings. So we accept, oh yes, it is summer season, it's heat. Then I just turn on the fan. If it is winter season, it's very cold. Then I accept it and wear some warm clothes. So that's how we deal with the nature. So we accept and then accordingly we deal. So similarly, while living with the people also around, the Daksha, if you see the character of Shiva is exactly opposite to that of Daksha. And then when Shiva was cursed, Shiva was silent. Shiva didn't utter a single word. Shiva was silent. Shiva accepted, okay, he's cursing me, so he can't affect my soul, basically. When someone heard, you know, Nainam Chindanti Shasrani, Nainam Dahati Pavakaha, Na Chainam Kledayan Tyapo, Na Shoshati Maharata. Like, I remember in childhood, when we were kids and used to play, and some playmate, if he would use some abusive words, then we were taught, no, our mother used to say, yeah, you don't get angry. Why are you getting angry? He is speaking all these ill words. What you do? Just show your hand to them. I said, what is this then? It means what? I said, your hand is like mirror, you know. Hand, you act like a mirror then. Your hand will act like a mirror. Whatever this person is cursing or using an abusive words, then it will hit the mirror and he will. You are showing the mirror to him and then he will see himself in the mirror. Actually, it's a mirror of hand, not the physical mirror, but the hand, just showing the hand. And then he will counter curse and it means he is counter cursing he's cursing himself. So it's like that, you know. The abusive language doesn't touch the soul in one sense. Right? So therefore, the Shiva was calm. Shiva was quiet. Shiva accepted this. Only the problem was that when Daksha should have accepted that, you know, okay, yes, he is a great person, and if he doesn't offer me any respect, what a big deal. Everyone else has offered respect. You know, this is also the tendency of human being. You know, like always wanting to see something negative. And, in assembly, imagine the world yagya, the almost demigods and a number of people have assembled over there, all stood up. And Daksha's glorification is there in many verses. Daksha entered and it was like a brilliant sun and everyone stood up. So everyone stand up except these two personalities. So Daksha should have seen that everyone is giving me respect except these two. Okay, accept na. It's like, you know, these days, you know, YouTube, if someone uploads a video and there are, let's say, 1,000 likes and 2 dislikes to the video, you know, thumbs up and thumb down. So if there are 1,000 thumbs up and there are 2 thumbs down, and then sometimes, you know, the person who has this attitude of always seeing negative, then you'll say, why these 2 people, they didn't like the video which I have posted. So these people with this attitude of always seeing negative, this personified here by the example of Daksha. So he just saw that this negativity, this person is not offering me respect. So seeing negativity was the first fault. He didn't see the positive aspect. So many people are offering respect, actually they're standing up. So this, first of all, this positive outlook towards life we need to develop. And then the second flaw was he was expecting something that they'll offer me respect. So that desire was there. So that unfulfilled desire, as we discussed, leads to anger. And that's what Krishna is asking us over, to accept. When we accept, we can learn the art of tolerance. And there are n number of examples. Our scriptures are replete with n number of examples of these people who teach us this art of acceptance of situations and people around. Just to give an example, we just saw one example of King Parikshit, who says that Vyasakta Chittasya Nirvedamulo Dvijashaparupo. He says that the Lord has appeared here in front of me in the form of a curse of this boy. So he accepted. In 6th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another example of Chitraketu, when he was also cursed. Actually, we are just seeing the history of these curses. When he was also cursed by Parvati for a meager offense, actually, he just smiled. And that was not also intention. Unintentionally, when he smiles at Shivji, you know, Shivji and Parvati is sipping on the lap of Shivji, and Shivji is giving a class to renunciants, and that too with Parvati close to him in such a way. So therefore, only my master can do it. He just had a smile, and Parvati took it another way. Parvati took it that, you know, how can he laugh? She took it, this situation, as sarcasm. She cursed, you become a demon. And then he immediately accepted. Okay, he continued laughing. Okay, what's the big deal? I accept. So he accepted. And then Parvati had a confusion. How can the person be so peaceful, you know, even I have cursed. And then Shivji has to reply, you know, what is this? Narayana parasarve na kutaschana vidyari swarga apavarga narkeshu api talyardarshan. He says that the devotees of the Lord, whether they go to hell or heaven, they doesn't mind. Narayana parayana. They just seek an opportunity to serve Narayan, please Narayan, and whenever they go, they do that. So therefore, disciples of Srila Prabhupada in one country, I don't remember exactly where it happened, some of the disciples were put behind bars in the jail for doing Nagar Sankirtan and maybe Russia or somewhere, where the street exhibition of this cultural aspects was not allowed, and they did kirtan, they were distributing books, and all the devotees were put behind the bars. And then the news came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, oh, what's the big deal? You are preaching outside on the streets, now you preach inside the jail. And they were into the jail and preaching, and the point came that the jailer, they have to release them, you know? Otherwise they would create havoc in the jail. So that's what Chitraketu Maharaj also accepted this situation. Considering the example of curses, there is Arjuna. Arjuna, once when he had to go to heavenly planets for acquiring celestial weapons, and then he goes there. You might have heard this incident that, you know, actually Indra was father of Arjuna, and then he goes to Indraloka, and then just while then we know in Swargaloka that Apsara dances, and the party was going on, and then Arjuna happened to see Urvashi, and then he was just looking at the dance, and Indra assumed something else. Indra thought that he wants Urvashi, or he's attracted to Urvashi. So he says, okay, go to Urvashi, go and meet. And then Urvashi says, okay, let us enjoy. Then Arjuna says, no, I have come over here for a different purpose, and you are like my mother. You were there with our ancestors, and you are like my motherly figure. So she got offended, she cursed, you become Napunsak. And then he accepted the curse. Okay. And actually he utilized it during the Ajnatavasa, after 12 years of exile, the 13th year, when they were in the kingdom of Drupada. So he acted as a Bruhannala, as a dance teacher to the children who were there in the kingdom of Drupada. So he also accepted the curse. He didn't counter curse, or he didn't say that I'll kill you now. No, he accepted. Another wonderful example is of Lord Rama. Now, Lord Ramchandra, actually, if you see, he was about to be enthroned as the king of entire Ayodhya. And even you see, the acceptance of two situations. Sometimes we need to accept positive situations also, and sometimes we have to accept negative situations also. So, being a crowned king the next day, the king of Ayodhya, so Ram accepted that also, because he was aware of his responsibility towards the kingdom, and he accepted that, okay, if you want me to be a king, and you are asking me to become a king, then I'll become. And we know all the situations, how it transpired, Mantra, Kaiki, and the whole incidents is there in Ramayana. And the next day, he had to go on exile instead of being the king of the throne of Ayodhya. So he immediately accepted that, you know, in such a way that we all know that how Kaikeyi had created a whole scene entering into Kopa Bhavan and creating whole scene over there. And Dasharatha was lying there whole night and disheveled hairs and all that stuff you can read from Ramayana. And then when Kaikeyi told Rama that Dasharatha could not tell, so the Kaikeyi had to tell. So Kaikeyi told that we have decided that you will be going on exile for 14 years and Bharat would be the enthroned king. Rama immediately said, oh, no problem. Why? There was no need to create such a scene, you know. You would have just sent some messenger and told me. I would have gone directly to the forest from there itself. So he took it like he just accepted. And Ramayana describes that when he was entering into the palace before receiving the news, and while he was coming out of the palace after receiving this news, his mood didn't change. He was as happy as, rather it is mentioned that he was more happy while coming out than going in. Because while going in, he knew that he will be coronated as a king of Ayodhya the next day. But while coming out, he knew that I will be going to forest now, exiled for 14 years. So in spite of that, he was happy. So how could Lord Rama handle this, you know, reversals in life? This big Lord Rama showed here the quality of equanimity or the acceptance or the tolerance, basically. Why he could handle is because he was doing what is asked to do and not what he wanted to do. Rama continued to remain happy in both the situations because basically we learned here that he was doing what he's told to do. Initially he was asked to become a king and he was ready to do that because it was asked of him. And secondly, he was asked to go to forest in exile. That also he was ready to do because he was asked to do. So he was doing what is being asked, and therefore he could handle, and he was not doing what he wanted to do. So therefore this quality of equanimity is praised at many places in Bhagavad Gita. Starting from second chapter, it goes on till 18th chapter. Almost we can say every chapter you'll find some mention of this quality of equanimity. Rather, at one place Krishna defines samatvam yoga uchyate. Samatvam. Samatvam means equanimity. Equanimity is called as yoga. Sukadukhe samekrutva labha labho jaya jayo tato yuddha yujyasva naivam papam avapsi. He says that sukha and dukha samekrutva, when you see them as equal, equanimity. 12th chapter also he says tulya ninda stutir mauni santushto yanagani. So we see that Lord Shiva is calm and composed. He is exhibiting these qualities and therefore he is dear to Krishna. Actually, tulya ninda stutir mauni santushto yanagani aniketa sirmatir bhaktiman ya same priya. Lord Krishna talks about who is dear to me. So one who shows such a level of equanimity is dear to me. And here also we see that Shiva, Lord Shiva is showing this equanimity over here. With cursed or not cursed, he is steadfast in what he is doing. And therefore he is dear to Lord Krishna. Vaishnavanam yatha shambho. He's the topmost Vaishnava actually. The topmost Vaishnava has to be dear to Lord. And why he's topmost? Because he's exhibiting such a wonderful qualities of equanimity, of acceptance, of tolerance. And that's what Lord Ram also displayed. So therefore, we need to understand here a very important lesson is that do not be angry. What we are listening to not be angry. How not to be angry? The first is we need to accept, yes, this situation. And we need to control over, have a control over our desires themselves, because unfulfilled desires leads to anger. So to not have many material desires, we can have a spiritual desire, spiritualize them. And whenever situations are there, we need to accept that, those situations. So sometimes it's called the CA formula, change what you can change and accept what you cannot change. CA, change what is changeable. A is accept what is unchangeable. So this CA formula we can apply. This is what we can learn from this background of this incidents, what is being narrated. And also, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport about Asat Shastra. Srila Prabhupada stresses almost at two places in the purport, he says, Sat Shastra Paripanthinaha. Those worshippers of Lord Shiva, they will be diverted from the transcendental scriptural injunctions because, you know, he appeared as the Shankaracharya and he propagated the philosophy of Mayavada. Actually, sometimes, you know, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned it is necessary to preach the philosophical doctrine that is against the Vedic conclusion. So it was the hour of the need. You know, someone may question why Shiva himself, you know, he is saying, Srila Prabhupada mentions the reference from the Shiva Purana, wherein Lord Shiva himself tells to Parvati that in the Kali Yuga, in the form of a Brahmana boy, I will preach the Mayavad philosophy, which is Asat Shastra, Mayavadam Asat Shastram. So someone, this might generate a question in the mind of a person that why Shiva has to do that. So if you see a evolution of philosophical doctrine, Buddha, almost 2500 years ago, Buddha appeared. And when Buddha appeared, Buddha straight away, because of also, we need to see all these personalities in a context, that they appeared in particular era where particular things were prominent, and accordingly they preached, and there is an evolution in their preaching style through their personalities. So Buddha appeared, now Buddha rejected Vedas, and is Buddham Sharanam Gacchami. So just surrender to me, Buddha, and give up everything, even the Vedas. Now why it is so? Now because there were some people, some scrupulous Brahmana at the time, who had started unnecessary killing of animals in the name of Yajna. And to stop that, he had to reject Vedas. So he rejected Vedas, and then that was time being actually. And then almost everyone followed Buddhism. And it spread throughout the world actually. Many people who follow Buddhism, true Buddhism in one sense. So then afterwards, then again, Lord had to send someone who would now again establish Vedas, because the time has now come to establish Vedas. Now who will go? Then Shankara was asked, Lord has asked Shankara, you only go and preach this and bring Vedas. Now, you can imagine that Vedic knowledge has been totally rejected, Vedas have been rejected, people are following Buddhism, and now to tell, preach about Vedas, it takes a lot of courage actually. And to preach Vedas, the philosophy of Vedas, to teach people to accept Vedas, first of all. And then what he did, so why he had to take shelter of Mayavad and preach Mayavad is because, so initially the Vedas were rejected, now he is going to present Vedas, but he has to present Vedas in such a way that the philosophy of Buddhism will remain intact. So he has to be very intelligent in presentation. that you know, Buddha has presented the philosophy of Shunyavada. We chant in Prabhupada's prayer, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarane. So Shunyavada, so Buddha voidism was spread, rejection of Vedas and the spread of voidism has occurred in the era of Buddha. And now when Shankaracharya had to infiltrate, he had to keep the philosophy to somewhat intact or to very close to that. So close to Shunyavad is Mayavad. So therefore he had to bring out Mayavad through the Vedas. And then he presented Vedic scriptures and then a philosophy, Mayavad, which is close to Shunyavad, that he presented. And that's how then he connected people to Vedas. So at least then many people started following Veda after Shankaracharya. And then after Shankaracharya, a few centuries afterwards, then Ramanujacharya came. And then he presented a different philosophy through the Vedas, obviously. And then we have Madhvacharya, who appeared many years later after Ramanujacharya. So that's how if you see, the philosophical evolution is there, and every acharya, they had, they were like empowered personalities. They preached according to time, place, circumstance, and based, they were piling on the previous philosophies actually. And that's how, so that people wouldn't fear accepting this. And later on, this bhakti culture was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's how we need to, so Shankaracharya, it was very difficult for Shankaracharya to present bhakti philosophy directly based on the Vedas, because he had to present something close to Buddhism, and that was Mayavad actually. So therefore, if we see this philosophical evolution, then it was good at that time, so that many people could be connected based on that philosophy. And therefore, it was right on the part of Shankaracharya to present this philosophy so that many people could be connected to the Vedic literature. So therefore, this doubt we need to dispel from the heart, that why Lord asked Shivji to preach in a way. So he preached basically just so that people can be connected and Buddhism can be now eradicated. So that's what we can understand. So we understand this, understand, we discussed two, three things here basically. Anger, we started with anger and audacity and repentance, A and R represents what basically. And from Bhagavad Gita, we saw how is anger generated, basically unfulfilled desires. And when we don't accept situations, so life equation we saw, when we have... when we don't accept, then it generates negative emotions in us. When we accept, it generates positive emotions in us. And we saw a few examples of the personalities from the scriptures who accepted the situations. We saw example of Parikshit Maharaj from first canto Srimad Bhagavatam. We saw Chitraketu Maharaj's example, who was also cursed, from sixth canto Srimad Bhagavatam. We saw Arjuna's example from Mahabharata, who was also cursed. We saw example of Ramachandra from Ramayana, accepting a negative situation in life. And we saw that how equanimity is the constant theme of Bhagavad Gita. At many places it is being said, Tulyaninda, Sutir Muni, who becomes, how to become dear to the Lord, how when we develop this quality of acceptance and being developing this quality of equanimity, we can become dear to the Lord, like Lord Shiva, who is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambho. And we later on saw in the last part that how the philosophical evolution has taken place over the years, and how Shankaracharya's propagation of Mayavad philosophy was right at that particular point of time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very amazing, amazing class, Prabhuji. I think you need to hear the class one more time, because so many points you have covered. So, Prabhuji, my question is like, you were talking about Parvati giving curse to someone, so I did not understand that first thing.
Parvati was cursing to Chitraketu. This story comes in 6th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lord Shiva was giving a class actually, and Parvati was sitting on his lap, and actually he was giving class to sages. So Chitraketu was passing from airways at that time, and he happened to see it, and he just had a smile on his face. That, you know, Acharya explained that why he smiled is because he was saying, he was considering Lord Shiva as a master, and he was saying that only my master could do. This is explanation by Acharyas. And but she, Parvati took it another way. Parvati took it as a sarcasm, you know, like she was saying, you know, because I'm sitting or he is laughing. So she took it negatively, and therefore she cursed, you become a demon. And we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam that he became Rudrasura later. So this is the past time actually. So she cursed Chitraketu, King Chitraketu, to become a demon in next life.
Yes, probably. And what about Arjuna? What was he got cursed for?
He cursed because Urvashi took it as an offense, being called a mother, and she cursed to become an Napunsak, you know, Enan. And so that was the curse to him. So he didn't counter curse. He accepted the curse, and he used that during the Ajnatavasana. They were also exiled, you know, the forest for 12 years after losing the gambling match. So for 12 years they were in exile, and last 1 year was Ajnatavas. If they were found in the Ajnatavas, then again the exile period will continue for next 12 years. So therefore, that during that Ajnatavas, everyone had to hide their identity. So Arjuna could hide his identity based on the curse, basically. So he used that, and he became Bruhannala as a dance teacher in the kingdom of King Drupada.
Virat.
Yuna.
Yes, Prabhuji, very, very nice, Prabhuji, and like very true that we have to, you know, whatever curse we are getting, we have to take it as a mercy of the Lord. And how nicely you gave so many examples, as examples they teach us, like being a Vaishnava, you have to be be happy all the time, like Lord Ram, you said. While he was heard the news of he's getting becoming a king, and next day while coming back he was like going to exile, so he was having the smile on his face all the both the time. So that way we have to take all the curse and everything as a blessings of the Lord. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Anybody else has any question or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very nicely you have explained it all in detail. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If no one has any question or comments, we can end here. And thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Anshakalpataru Hesha Sutta.